Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, for how many decades was the Bintel Brief published in the New York Yiddish newspaper Der Vorwärts? Marjorie Gottlieb Wolf is a retired business educator and freelance writer who lives in Syosset, New York. She loves the Yiddish language and has published articles about the meaning and origin of Yiddish words and expressions, as well as stories with a Yiddish twist in the online publication The Shmooze. Her articles have also appeared in the New York Times, Smart Money Magazine, The Jewish Press, and Long Island Jewish World, among others. Mrs. Wolf also lectures to groups on topics ranging from the Bintel Brief to the humor of Billy Crystal. Thank you very much for speaking with us today, Marjorie.
It's a pleasure.
Could you tell us a little bit first about your own personal background, where your Yiddish is from, and why you're interested in it at all?
I attended NYU. I became a business ed teacher. I taught right on Long Island at Kennedy High School. But I did love Yiddish. My mother was young and American born, but her parents sent her to Workman's Circle Camp. So she learned her Yiddish there, and that's how I learned the Yiddish from my mother. She spoke beautifully.
So did you speak Yiddish at home then?
No. I spoke English, but I heard a lot of Yiddish.
Tell us what you're doing with Yiddish. Tell us about the Shmooze.
There are many websites now that discuss Yiddishkeit. There was one that came out from Montreal called GansaMegillah.com. And I wrote every month for that column. The column is no longer in existence, but we do have something called the Shmooze, where people write in articles relating to Yiddishkeit, and it's put online.
This is in English?
This is in English.
And what kinds of articles do you write for them?
I would write articles about holidays. I do celebrities like Mike Nichols. I would do the Jewish mother on Everybody Loves Raymond. I would take a specific Yiddish word, let's say the word klutz, and I would get online or check my references, my reference books, and find out interesting things about the word.
About how often do you do this?
I write every day, and I would say it takes 2 to 3 days to do an article, and I send it online.
Tell us about the 2 books that you've written.
Okay. When I retired from teaching 21 years ago, I had no qualms about retiring because I knew I wanted to write a book. And the first book I wrote was named Ayentas, Kibitzes, and Tumlas, Weapons of Mass Instruction.
Could you define those words? Because I don't know if all our listeners understand them.
A kibitzer. What we're doing now is we're kibitzing. We're talking. A tumler is a noisemaker. If you went to the Catskills, to any of the big hotels, Concord, Neverly, and so forth, they hired tumlers, noisemakers, so that you didn't complain about the food and the weather and the size of the room. And it's a play on words, where I say weapons of mass instruction. It's basically a book about Yiddish trivia. That was book one.
Can you give us an example of Yiddish trivia? You mean trivia about the language?
Trivia about the language. An example of trivia, Molly Picon had the only Yiddish swimming pool in the world, according to an individual. At 3 feet, the poolside sign read, "It's a pleasure, it's a machaya." And at 5 feet, it said, "Oy vey." It's getting a little deep in here. And at 10 feet, it said, Gewalt.
What about the other book?
The second book is Yiddish for Dog and Cat Lovers. People, Jewish and non-Jewish, love their dogs. They carry in their wallet pictures of their dogs, sometimes not even of their children. So basically what I did was I hired a cartoonist, and I gave him Yiddish expressions that I wanted him to draw an illustration for. So I gave him the expressions in English and in Yiddish, and he did the illustrations to go with it.
So what you wrote in Yiddish are these Yiddish sayings about animals?
Yeah, most are about animals. And I have a list here of dog obedience commands in Yiddish. So instead of saying, sit to the dog, you tell him, zitz. And the dog doesn't know the difference. Whatever you teach the dog, he follows it.
You also give lectures to groups. Can you tell us the types of groups that you speak to?
I speak primarily to senior citizens. I do it in South Florida, Boynton Beach, Delray Beach, Boca, where there is a tremendous number of Jewish people.
And a lot of them must have a connection to Yiddish as well.
Well, they go to the libraries when I have a program. Every large development has a Yiddish club. Some of them call it a Jewish culture club because they don't want to scare off people who don't know much Yiddish. So by changing the name, they get more people. So every single development has a club, and they invite me as a guest speaker. I give them a choice of topics.
Yeah, tell us about some of the
right
topics.
Right now I have a choice of 14 hours. Each talk is 1 hour. It might be the humor of Molly Goldberg, Gertrude Berg. It might be the humor of Joan Rivers. That's very timely right now. The humor of Billy Crystal. Last year, Billy Crystal turned 65, and he wrote a book about what it's like to be a grandparent at 65. He was also on Broadway in 800 Sundays. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the audience have seen the show or bought the book. I also do 50 fabulous Yiddish F words and the stories behind them. Very, very popular. And the most popular right now is the humor of Judge Judy. They all love her, and it's very funny.
You also give a talk about the Bintel Brief, which I'd like to get into in a little more depth. How did you become interested in the Bintel Brief?
That was one of my talks, and it turned out to be so popular. Most of the audience knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Tell our audience what the Bintel Brief was.
All right. It means a bundle of letters. You know, today our kids and grandkids, they don't write letters anymore. If you get a letter, put it in your vault, because that's how precious it is. They, of course, send emails. But years ago, there was a column in the Forward or the Forbits that was called the Bintel Brief. And who wrote those letters? They were new immigrants to New York City.
When are we talking about?
The column ran from 1906 to 1967. And the Abe Cahan, C-A-H-A-N, was the editor. And when someone wrote to him, it was like they were writing to the Rebbe. If I write to Ann Landers, I write, dear editor. But when they wrote to him, they said, dear esteemed editor. That's to show them the respect that they felt.
So it was an advice column.
And it was an advice column. And the writers sometimes needed a lot of help in writing the letters. So there were entrepreneurs who hung out a sign that they will assist you in writing the columns for 25 to 50 cents.
What kind of advice did they ask for at the beginning, and how did it change over the years? Because 60 years is a long time.
For example, if you go to 1923, there is the most touching letter in the entire book, and I'm going to share it with you. The writer writes, "Worthy Mr. Editor." So this writer says that she was born in a small town in Russia, and her mother brought her up alone. Well, what happened was a pogrom broke out, and the mother was killed, and she was raped. And this is what happened in pogroms. So she had a terrible, terrible reaction to the rape, and she's left alone. Then her family invites her to the United States to live with them, and she still is very, very depressed. But something wonderful happens. She meets a young man. The young man has proposed to her, and he is waiting for her answer. So why is she writing to the forward? She is writing because she wants to know whether she should tell him that she is no longer a virgin.
And what does Abe Kahan tell her?
This was one time that he did not come out and tell her exactly what to do. He said to her that this misfortune befell many Jewish girls, but you must not feel guilty because you are innocent. You did nothing wrong. So he says to her, if your friend is one of those people and he really loves you, he will accept the fact that you are no longer a virgin. But it's up to you because I don't know the boy. And then someone in the audience will always say, but he'll find out on the wedding night. And then someone else in the audience will say, she can always say she went horseback riding. And then there's always a discussion about how much a woman should tell a husband-to-be before she gets married. Maybe there's a dual standard, and not here, but in other columns people have written, does the husband-to-be tell her where he has spread his sperm? No, he doesn't. So it's up to her how much she wants to disclose. However, since this is on her mind all these years, perhaps it's time for her to just tell him, get it over with, and if he doesn't marry her, then he's not her beshert.
What kinds of questions did people ask later on? Because the 60s was a completely different society.
Well, no one would write this letter today. All of the couples are living together before they get married. Not 100%, but many are. So this would never, ever come up.
But what would? What sorts of questions were written to the forward later on? How did the types of questions evolve, let's say, the types of letters evolve? Or did people just basically write about the same things?
No, they wrote about all their problems. A gentleman could write to say that in Europe, he was Orthodox. He didn't travel on Shabbos. He didn't work on Shabbos. And now he comes to New York City, to the garment district, and the employer says to him, well, you want a job? You're going to have to work on Saturdays and Friday nights. So that was a very difficult thing, to give up your religion. And then there were stories about people coming over on a ship, and when they saw the Statue of Liberty, they threw over the things they brought from Europe because they wanted a clean slate. I'm now a U.S. citizen, and it's a new world for me.
Tell us about the Bintel Brief now, because you mentioned that they are publishing it again.
The Bintel Brief is back in the foreword. But instead of having one editor, every month they have a different editor. Dr. Ruth, the psychologist, for example, they hired her for 1 month. And she answered all the letters that came in that month. And most of them dealt with sexual problems because that's her specialty. I think it's interesting to know the kinds of letters that people might write today as compared to then. So someone might write in, for example, I've raised 3 daughters in a nice Jewish home, and my youngest tochter, daughter, is a schnurrer. All right? She is a frugal flaunt. She flaunts her frugality. All right? She will go to Costco, the discount grocery store, and she will eat her lunch by eating the samples that they give out. Or she will go on Madison Avenue trying to collect money. And Allrightnik would say to her, I never give money on the street. So she might say to him, so what should I do, open an office? Or recently she told me that dry cleaning in Manhattan is so expensive. If I were to give a suit, a business suit to be cleaned, it would be $14. So what does my frugal daughter do? She donates the suit to the Salvation Army. They clean it, they press it, and she buys it back for $4.
So what was the advice?
Well, is there anything wrong with being a schnurrer? This is the kind of letter we might send to the Forward today. I'm not sure how they would answer it.
Okay.
There could be worse things you could say about your daughter, other than that she's frugal.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you would like to add that we might have left out?
Well, I have an unexpected second career. So I retired from teaching, and I wrote 2 books, and little did I know that I would have an entire career giving talks, giving lectures at libraries and JCCs. And I also go to senior residences, and they love to hear about Yiddishkeit.
Thank you very much. If you would like to read some modern Bintel brief letters, or contact Marjorie about scheduling a lecture, or read some of her articles, we're including links on this page. Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSefarad.com. See you next week.